right there.
I grew up going to church. I grew up attending churches. I followed people to church. Every Sunday, and grew up a Catholic. And while I was in maybe junior high or high school, I found myself in the bush around the school where I was. I was saying, God, you are somewhere, you are real. Where are you? And I kept attending church. Actually, at some point, this might be surprising to you, I wanted to be a Catholic priest. But all I experienced was religion. I never knew the difference between religion and whether you've been a Christian. Because it looks so much alike. And in my quest to find God, could not. So the evidence was I backslid. Please, let's take the microphone down. I backslid. And all my life in college, I was 100% worldly. I was so worldly. I didn't even pay attention to my schoolwork. I was so engrossed in this world. Because what I thought was God was not. And I didn't know what can change my life. I didn't know how a God this big and this great cannot change. And I've been great. So I didn't know the difference until even religious, until I came here. And one day, I had an encounter. Until you experience an encounter with God, your Christianity will be just shallow. What do I mean shallow? My brothers and sisters, there are millions of churches all over the world. And in this city, people just are so comfortable with religion. God known, he can manifest, he can do things, but he hides himself. You have to show you really need him. You really want him. You have to seek him with your life. To find him. Even though he's everywhere. But there's a secret place. You can't enter that place if you don't seek it. When you encounter God, it doesn't matter how, in church, to prophecy, to dreams, to a wind, to a storm, in the valley or in the mountain, one of the first things that you're going to find out is God will sensitize you to his reality. If you leave that experience and you don't go pursue and search and cry and wait personally, the birds of this world will come and steal it from you. Then some, you encounter God, you experience God, you begin to long after him. Then suddenly, along the way, you go through persecutions, trials, things. God, why? How can you be so big? I'm still struggling. Why this? Why this? Why that? Why? You go through this, the Bible says, trials and persecutions. And it says, because you have not allowed a debt. It says, choke your Christian life. And before you know it, you stay on that level. Then he said, one of the greatest confrontations, the most subtle and deceptive man has never been able to cross, is the third level of Satan's aggression to a believer. The deceitfulness of riches and the lust of this world. The most powerful Satan's manipulation in this world from keeping us from going deeper. Money and God look alike in the area of our needs. Jesus put it this way, you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. There's a reason why he said that. Because no man can go deep if you have everything in this world you need.
Wow.
You don't need it. To go deep. Money can supply it all you want. There's no need to pay the price for that. So Jesus says, the top level Satan comes is those who the word of God and their encounters are planted on thorns. They want to share with you with offenses. People get offended, people get broken, and they quit. Stones, wounds and hearts before you became a Christian has not been healed. So when you go through things and these things challenge you, stand up. But this one is its thorns, where it says, wealth, deceitfulness of riches, choke, and they never go to the level of bearing fruit. So, God called Adam, called Eve. All he asked from them was obedience. Obey my word. We looked at it last week. They fell. And And because of one man's disobedience, the destiny of nations were hijacked. All of us. Until Christ came. How does this work? How does this work? God is no partial. God is, he knows everything. So, when Adam and Eve fell, let's go quickly to the obedience of another man. God looked all over the world and he found out that people are now completely engrossed in the provisions of this world. What money can provide, what society, what the mindset programmed. The God of this age has blinded their eyes. So that there's no need to find a God you can depend on. You cannot. So now, God started looking from state to place to place. And he came to the house of a man and he found Abraham. And Abraham encountered God in Babylon, a very hidden, the world was so full of other gods. At this time, they wanted to build all kinds of images and idols and unite around Satan's to serve one. So God finally found this man and he said, Abraham. Do something for me. Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy father's house, thy kindred, your family. So from thy kindred, their clans, their lineage, and from thy father's house unto the land I will show thee. Genesis 12:2. And I will make thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you. And I will curse them that curse thee. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. Abraham obeyed. This is somebody that has not heard about this God. All their generation were now corrupt. The world was now completely overtaken by the systems of this world. God called this man and told him this. Anytime you encounter God, it's not fun. There is always the word. Every time you come to church and God moves or sensitizes your heart and stuff and it begins to speak, before the end of that message, there is something to say to you as a person. Obedience is the only way to manifest the fruit of what you hear from God. Abraham obeyed. God called him here, and God says, I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do, and the nations of the earth will be blessed from you. So by the time you get to here, I'll make you. Your name will be known of. So God, Abraham encountered God, like we all do, at dreams or even here. You feel his presence, you encounter things. That's it, you're encountering God. What is the purpose? He speaks to you. Or he gives you a vision, or a dream, or speaks prophetically to you. Then the next step is your part. What is the name? Obedience. So Abraham obeyed. As soon as Abraham started obeying, Listen to what obedience will do to you. He left everything he's familiar with. Everything that his root was planted, everything he knew to be secured, everything he grew up with, he left. And as he obeyed God, you all know the rest of this story. God told him, this is what I will do. And every year, nothing happened according to that promise. Other things were happening. God gave Abraham great favor. He gave him great wealth. He gave him great people around him. He gave him power, influence with kings and leaders anywhere he goes. But still, he didn't see the son. And the more God was leading him, the more Sarah was growing old, the more Abraham was growing old, and all the people that Abraham told here, God said, will be great. Great things are going to happen. We'll have children. All this. He told them the vision, shared everything. And they said, let's go, let's do it. By the time they were going and they saw things, they were like, Abraham, nothing is happening. You see, when God calls you or God speaks to you, he will work on so many things behind the scenes. He will work. He gave him what? He gave him everything. But let me tell you, every blessing Abraham had, everything God was doing, nothing mattered to him but, I will give you a son. I will make you the father of nations. He has not seen that. But there were signs God was with him. So after a while, at this level, Sarah's womb was dead. Old. So, in the natural, it became impossible for Abraham to link what God spoke to him to Sarah and himself. You couldn't link it. It's not physically possible. Humanly possible. So, when you get to that place, now is, did God say, or is the evidence a lie? The evidence says God is a liar. But God says, I have spoken. Please kill one to one. It's impossible to believe God looking in the natural. In the natural, everything can be going good and people say, Hosanna. But when God takes you to the cross in the spirit where he says, die, they'll say, crucify. We humans walk by sight. And we praise God by sight. And when he's not doing what we expect, we by sight reject him. So that's why without faith, you can never be in alignment with this. Because this is spirit. So what told Abraham? Sarah. But at this point, at this junction, Sarah's womb is dead. Every medical reason for her to give birth is cancer. Nobody at that age has ever given birth to a child. So there's no evidence. So, as a human being, which they were and we are, what would you do? Exactly what we're doing today. Abraham, I'm your wife. I understand the frustration we have. It is very clear at this point, it's not me. There's no way. So, instead of delaying this process, let us do what is right. Let me get my servant, my handmaid, and I will bless her and I will give her to you so that we can fulfill that promise God gave to us. So that all this talking and all these things will be stopped. We are totally now clear. It's not me God intends to use. Let's do it through my servant. Guess what? Hey guy, came into the picture. Ishmael was born. When I got saved, I had this encounter. God spoke a lot of things to me. Along the way, this story started making sense. And one particular year, I had another encounter. The Lord showed me a secret. And the secret was in the life of David. He said, I cannot find too many people that are willing to wait on my promise. When the road goes tough and the womb is dead and the limb is lame and the eyes is blind, by nature they check me out, but they don't say it. But God says, when I've spoken, it's a finished one. I cannot find many who will wait until it happens. Because of the shame, because of the pain, because of the body. The Bible says, Hebrews 6:6, it says, Abraham patiently endured and obtained the promise. But the mistake Abraham made was written for our example. For us to learn that whatever God has spoken will always come to pass, regardless of what we see in the physical. So, Ishmael was born. Finally, at 13 years, Ishmael is now a big boy, and Abraham has accepted Ishmael as his son. He never knew there was anything wrong. After 13 years, that's when Ishmael found out the ministry of Ishmael to Abraham was not of God. There are many reasons why God is still looking for people. If I ask you, if you ask Abraham, is Ishmael the vision? Is Ishmael the plan? Is Ishmael God's plan? Abraham said, yes. Because he told God, he said, let Ishmael be. This is my son. God says, no, Ishmael is not my plan. I will bless him because he came through you, but it's not a plan. After 30 years, I don't want to take us. I'm talking about obedience. So God saw Abraham's heart, and God, when Sarah was 89 years old, God told Abraham, now it's going to happen. And Abraham laughed. Abraham laughed. I want to declare at this point, any man sitting here, any woman sitting here, anybody that has made a sacrifice to leave your father, your mother, to leave anything, anything you've done out of obedience for God's sake, but never be forgotten. God will never fail you. Mm-hmm. He makes things beautiful in his time. It doesn't matter how things look in the physical, God will be faithful. The impossible became possible because God spoke. Sarah got a child. And Isaac was born. And then the rest of the story. There's a scripture I want to read to you about obedience. I want you to see this scripture. Many of you have read it, but it has to do with obedience and destiny. I want you to open to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. God is already moving on some of your hearts. Just release yourself and let God have this way. Romans 8. From verse 25. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. If we hope for things we see not because God has spoken, he says, then we must be patient. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses as human. It's not easy. In weakness, I think. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit helps us. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings who cannot be uttered. Verse 27. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. My brothers and sisters, there are two prayers that if you pray, it's not an easy joining, but God will fulfill everything he's spoken. Praying in the Spirit and praying the Word of God. The promise of God. Pray the Word of God, not what you want. Not what you think. God has given promises. If you can't pray in the Spirit, pray God's promises. Stand on what God has spoken in prayer. It's His Word. Establish that prayer, even if you pray every day for that is a promise taking hold of you. If God has spoken it, you believe it in prayer, it will happen. Don't pray your own intelligence, your own struggle. Pray the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit. Because our own words, sometimes we're manipulating ourselves, manipulating others' money. Just pray God's word. Amen? Because the Spirit of God knows everything. Now, this is the scripture I want to read in verse 28. We know that all things work together for good. So them that what? Love God. That's one. To them that love God. Two. To them who are called. Three. According to his purpose. For whom God did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You can go on, just read that scripture, you see the plan of God, the discovering of God, the strength of God behind that. But what is that scripture we read all the time? It says, all things work together for good. For them that love God, what? For them that are called. For them that are walking in God's plan for their lives. There's the question I ask myself after I encountered God. Why am I here? Who am I? And what's your plan? I didn't want to waste time again and be driven by this culture and systems of this world. I wanted to focus on why I'm here, who am I, and what's the purpose. And when you do this, it will look like you have entered a journey, and it's like, where are you, God? Sarah and Abraham. I want to quickly mention somebody, and this scripture, I believe it has a lot to do with obedience and purpose. Your purpose and your purpose in life is written here. The reason you are born is written here. The reason why you are in America for such a time is written here. Your destiny says God foreknew. He knew everything about you before you were conceived in your mother's womb. And while you were in your mother's womb, he had a plan and a purpose. And the moment he begins to work those things, you'll be surprised. Why am I here? Why is this happening? Why is this? Why is this that? All you need to do is seek God to find out why. Because the moment God tells you, right here, I will make you father of nations, I will do this, I will do this, and you're going to have a seed. The moment you hear from God, you know you're standing on something. So even when Abraham went through what he went through, Romans 4 said, Abraham did not stagger in faith. Abraham did not say, did not ever deny God did not speak. He struggled. He struggled like we all do. And God allowed us to show that we struggle when we are going through things we don't understand. Even after God has spoken. He made a mistake, we don't. But he stood, he said he endured. Joseph was 17 years old. He grew up in a family that God has placed mantle of destiny upon each of those sons. God has, if you go read the Bible, God has something for every one of the sons. Joseph was born into that family. Many of his brothers didn't even know the plan of God for their life, but it's been prophesied. Each of them what they will be doing at this time. But Joseph happened to be a man who sought the face of God. Whenever you are born again, and you begin to seek this word, and you begin to pray, God will see your heart and will make this clearer to you about who you are and where you're going. Mm. So Joseph, in the midst of his family, wanted to know, God, we are the children of Jacob. We've heard you. This is a family with destiny upon. So what is your plan? What's going on? He's praying, he's seeking God. If you don't see that written in the Bible, go see that in the life of Daniel. These people you see, they have one pattern. They sought the face of God. They waited on God. They spent time with God. God did not distinguish them they distinguished their expectation of God and God. So Joseph received this and God told him. Spoke to him through a dream. God can speak to you through the word, through dreams, through prophecy, through people. But you know that you know you receive from the Lord. Clearly. What happened to Joseph? You're going to be a great guy. Even your family will bow before you. You're going to be so great. You're going to be so mighty. This is a picture of your future, a glimpse. You're going to be somebody. And then what happened? Mr. Somebody says, Joseph, from the moment he made that vision known, Satan arrested the minds of people around him. And it's like, I'm going to see how you're going to make it. He started in the church. He started with his brothers. With envy. with jealousy. Mm. And they started. And Joseph, have you ever got born again, got saved, and it looks like, oh my God, before I got saved, everything was working for me. Now that I'm a Christian, it's like, what is going on? Hmm. So, Joseph, we read this story, but go look at Psalms, how David recited his life. He was thrown into a pit because that was sparing him from being killed. From the church of that day, he was thrown into. So the first thing the enemy wanted to do was be angry, be offended, get bitter, and cut your destiny short. Jesus said it. When visions and dreams are planted, people don't think the best come. The next one is the stones, the rocks, the stone there. It says, after a while, persecution and trial, they wither away. Joseph was there. Pit means preachers in training. Amen? He experienced that. He came out of that. They said, don't kill him. Let's make him a slave. Uh-huh. Do you see what the devil is doing to his mind? Yes. Let's so destroy his emotions, his mindset, his thinking, that he won't even consider himself to repeat that dream again. So they made him a slave. It does something to your mind. Yes. It does something to emotions. It's the intention is to hijack the dream and make you focus on your brothers. Make you focus, God, what is this? He went to the next step, and what happened? He was in Potiphar's house. Okay. And I'm focusing on the Lord, the favor of God is here, this is happening. What happened? Potiphar's wife, the devil got there and slandered him. Mm, yeah. And had evidence that nobody can dispute Joseph's cause. And what happened to Joseph next? He was thrown in a pit. This time it was a pit and a dungeon of Pharaoh. You never come out alive. Hmm. You rot in there. Slowly, evil death. You don't go there as maximum jail. You just plead with the highest ranking Pharaoh's officer, his wife. My brothers and sisters, I want you to see what God is doing. Because I have been in so many of those stages in my life, to have asked these questions, have trouble. What is this? Joseph started here, like every one of us, got saved, he got excited. And look at what started happening, one after the other. But look at what God is doing when you carry the cross. When you look up to the promises of God, when you focus on Jesus, focus on what is spoken. Joseph was going through things that were destroying his image, his flesh, his reputation, his ability to defend himself, his self-centeredness. He was killing things in the flesh. Amen. But as he was killing things in the flesh, the only reason Joseph was looking, he was an example of Christ. He says Christ endured because his focus was the things that was set before him. Yes. The promise of God. Yes. The purpose of God. The plan of God. Without purpose, without vision, you can't endure anything. So Joseph kept obeying God. You sure? Okay. No bitterness. No offense. No this. But this story changed my life. This is where I knew Romans 20 8, 26 and 8 is that half. God already knew. This is where Joseph will be great. This is where Joseph will be promoted. This is where Joseph will be lifted up. This is where everything will happen. God showed Joseph. He didn't tell him how. Because it's God. So look at what happened. Satan started from here. He could have left Joseph here. Joseph would have felt nice, grew up here, everything would be nice. But he started with trials and persecution. And Satan started working Joseph's life towards the plan of God. What the devil meant for evil, Joseph said, God sent me ahead to position you for success. What the devil meant for evil, if you had vision and purpose from God, will only promote you to where God is. I don't know if you understand this. If you're going through trials, if you're going through this difficult moment, you can't see anything but pain, betrayal, disappointment if you don't keep your eyes on Jesus. Because he's working even though you don't see it. He knows the destination. He knows where he's taking you. He knows why he brought you. Why? He knows. And he's working it. And Satan is fulfilling it and did not know what he was doing. Satan was killing Jesus on the cross. And he said, if he had known the wisdom of God, he would not have killed him. Because as he was killing Jesus, he was terminating everything that he inherited from him. Satan literally terminated everything he stole from Adam and Eve by killing Jesus. He was God. His power was taken and he did it himself.
Yes.
Why is God so great? Because what the enemy meant for evil, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, if you keep your eyes on the Word, if you keep your eyes serving his purpose, doing his thing, anything the enemy does, even though it doesn't make sense, eventually it will make sense. Because Joseph, the devil pushed him all the way to Pharaoh's dungeon, and then God created a ladder to where Joseph is supposed to reign. That's why Paul said, I was the chiefest of sinners. I went through hell. I went through this. I went through this. Out of his experience, how can a religious person, how can somebody that murdered people, killed people, did all this evil, how can all this evil I've done eventually bring me to the greatest apostle in my time? God works all things for good. God works all things for good. For those who love him, those who set their eyes on him, he will work all things for good because he knew them before they were born.
Amen.
My brothers and sisters, obedience is what God is looking for. Disobedience is the reason why we're tested. The way we're tired. We have everything to go through. God, the enemy is looking for many ways, from offense to finances to all the things that he throws at us, just to get us to take our focus away from him, on us, on other things. All he's doing is just take your focus away from this. As we round up obedience today, purpose. Jesus told the disciples, here, I'm taking you to this other side. We are going there. We have a plan. So they didn't know what the plan was. They said, some deliverance, major thing God wants to do there. So they entered the boat and they were going and Jesus went there. So when Jesus finally came, there was a storm, big storm taking place. And Jesus came walking on the water. You know that story. Mm. And Peter said, if you're the one, tell me to come. And he said, sure. Peter walked on water. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anything Jesus did in the Bible, God is saying we can. If we have faith. So Peter walked on water. Think about it. What happened to Peter? As long as he was looking to Jesus, he walked by faith. But as he turned his eyes over away from this, away to the storm, he started to press going down. The whole intention of trials, persecutions, lack, struggles, everything we go through in this world, money, is to take our focus off faith. Yes. Because the moment you take your focus away from God, your problem becomes a mountain. Mm-hmm. And you see it hopeless, impossible. But the moment you put your faith, go and study this Bible again. Every mountain, everything impossible became possible. Everything! Let me finish this way. So, obedience. Hebrews 12 says, we have a cloud of witnesses. We have evidence of the faithfulness of God to the life of people who obey Him. So you can't say, God, your passion. Says, we have a cloud of witnesses. And so let's, for example, if you're going to do a relay race, you know, people that have run the race and now they go sit and they see the results. They've done their time in the earth and they're now with Jesus. So let's look at Noah. God called Noah really quick. Noah obeyed God. What is Noah's message to us today? If Noah was here, he says, during the time you ran this race, Noah would tell you, one family can make a difference. The whole world was doing their own thing. And Noah said, as for me and my house, we are going to do your will. One family can change if we obey God. You fast forward to Abraham, we just told the story today. One man that can obey God is the reason we are here today. Because through him came Jesus Christ. Let's fast forward to Esther. Esther will tell you, one woman can change a nation. Esther was born, his parents were not mentioned in the Bible. He could have used that orphan pain, he could have used the injustice of how he had no father, no mother. I was raised up by his uncle as an excuse and a justification to terminate our destiny. But one woman followed the example, the teachings of his uncle and stayed the course. And in a foreign land, God favored Esther to be the best and the most beautiful. God positioned Esther in the future of what God has in mind. And because of a woman that did not have parents, a nation was saved. And today we read it. It's the book of Esther. She was very comfortable. But his uncle said, Esther, you were born for this morning. Yeah. And she gave up everything. And put our life on the line out of obedience. Mm-hmm. Our destiny was highlighted. We can go quickly to Elijah. Elijah will tell you the prayer of one man can change a nation. Effectual, fervent prayer of one man can make a difference. nobody else wants to. Elijah prayed. No rain, there was no rain. Let rain come. His prayer commanded nature. Those are the people. Elijah will tell you, I don't have to lift this world from the ground. I can take my exit to the air. He did not die. These are provisions of destiny. We can go on and on through the Bible. John the Baptist. A man, from the day he was born as a child, the moment he realized his calling, his purpose, his destiny, and his love for God, he said, you know what? This world, you can have everything. But I am going to fulfill what I was born for. This man set his face to seek God. The Bible says he lived a life that today's world, they will say, is a madman. This man didn't enjoy pleasure at all. He had no time. And by the time God called him, what God called him to do just lasted less than 6 months to a year. And he was gone. What would John the Baptist say to us today? That God can look at you and say, one man's obedience can make God say, no man born of a woman is greater than John the Baptist. You know, that's what God said about him. When we get to heaven, we'll see. The New Testament, really quickly. If they come out in the weakness and say, let me, what lesson do you learn from? What will you take home? Oh, I forgot David. David will say, there is no age too young to kill Goliath. Because he lived in the presence of God. Today we have excused even our children from learning the ways of God. Josiah became king at the age of 8. David, people like Joseph, started pursuing God at the age of 16-17. Why are you here? Why are you a Christian? What are you living for? Are you willing to die for? The apostles asked Jesus one time, when he was telling them this road is narrow, it's not wide, it's not broad, it's narrow. You gotta carry your cross. Self has to die to the way. When he was telling them how, he said, okay, woo, how do we? And they said, we have left everything to follow you. Jesus says, you will see the reward, not just in heaven, but here you will see. And this man became the foundation that gave birth to the church. The New Testament. Today, kingdoms have come into the kingdom because of people who went through such a difficult time after leaving everything. And today, their testimony is the Bible we read. Finally, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He said everything. And Paul said he is the best example. Let's look to Jesus. When he came to this world, he says, follow him as the best example, the author, the finisher. His example is perfect. What did Jesus do? He went through this whole process as a man. Learned obedience to the uncomfortableness, submitted to everything. Finally, when his time came to die for the sin of the world, Hebrews said, for the joy, the vision God gave to him that he had in mind, he was looking at it and he was able to surrender to the pain, the bruising, the torture, the torment, the nail, and the beating and die for something he did not commit. But his eyes was looking at the vision. love God, or what experience or relationship you have with God, that today if we start being going through persecution like in China, or are you in a place where you think you can obey Christ in the face of difficulty or challenges? Are you there? Peter thought he was, because he was following Jesus. But when he was tested, Peter said, "Cursed, I don't know you. I've never seen you. Have you ever seen him, this man?" He denied. Don't say him or not. God is looking for believers. That's why this church will never preach anything but the cross. You might not be many, but you'll change the world if you believe. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. The Lord has spoken to you in different ways. You heard God speak to you different from the way the person sitting by you. It might not be what I've said, but God said something to you. I want you to reflect, because don't walk away from this place and not know what God spoke to you. If you receive something from the Lord, last week, when we started the obedience, a young man came to me. Actually, Matthew, he said, I want to start reading the Bible. You know, we talked about committing yourself, making room for God, like the prophet said this morning. If you can meditate on this, many of you answered. He came and said, I want to start reading the Bible, Dada. So I gave him an assignment. I said, if you will read this word, if you go and meditate and start reading the word, this is not something that is possible with him. And he came this Sunday and said, I started it, and I started from the book of Matthew. It's not what we hear, it's what we obey that changes things. So if you're here today, everything I've said, the Lord has said, will not make any difference to you if you did not hear something for yourself. And if you don't make a commitment to obey what you heard. So take a moment. Father, what did you say to me today? What did I hear you say to me? And I want to obey you. Thank you, Jesus. You are the Lord. Did you hear something from the Lord? Did the Lord speak to you? What did he say to you? That's what you obey. That's what you obey. That's what you obey. That's what you obey. As you make that decision, I'm going to pray. I will pray with you. Wherever you are, wherever you're standing, there's no need to come out of this altar, but it's just step of faith. If you're here and God has spoken to you and you made some decision towards what God is speaking to you, let's just lift our hands in obedience. Goshke brale kasatu gumbu kanda. Sabaleska. Penda brune liskarasko tuba. Father, you see the hands. I thank you for it's not by might, it's not by power, but by your spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you when we are willing and obedient, we see the fruits. The fruits will be in your presence. So, Father, I thank you that today, let there be an alignment. That which you knew, you foreknew, that which you knew before the foundations of the earth pertaining to the lives of your children. That which you prepared that eyes have not seen. Father, I pray, because you've spoken and your children says, here I am, Lord. Establish the grace to walk in obedience. And Father, I thank you for the endurance and the grace to see the fruit of obedience. Father, I have seen you do wonders because I simply did things I didn't know where you would take it. Do it for your children. There is nothing you cannot turn around. There is nothing impossible. Father, I thank you. Anyone that has been hopeless, despondent, depressed, confused, today, let them see you. Because in you, there is future. There is hope. You, oh God, you order our steps and you establish it for your glory. Let the anointing and the favor come upon your people today. I thank you for tangible fruits, grace, in obedience. I thank you that this year, Father, you caused the eyes of your people to see, to hear, and to receive the fruit of your peace in this season. Father, I speak peace to every troubled heart. I speak hope to every hopeless mind. I thank you. And today our eyes are on you, the hope of our future. You are our destiny. No devil, nothing can stop us. Let everything that the enemy has done only lead us to that promotion and to that place of victory you have promised us. Today we thank you. You are God. And you are working all things for the good and for the blessing of your children. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. From this Sunday, by the grace of God, there are things that we have not been doing. But beginning from next Sunday, we are going to. It's not like something, it's going to be spontaneous as the Spirit leads. But I want you to be open and be ready after our worship times. Sometimes it can be at the beginning or be at the end after the message. We're going to start what we call ministry to the body, okay? Amen? We're going to start beginning to open ourselves to the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? I just want to prepare you. Amen? Because at some time God is moving, God wants to do something. I want us to be the book of Acts, church. If you go to Acts chapter 13, it says there were prophets and apostles, all these people in one place, and God, they were flowing with the Holy Spirit. We want to be able to let the gifts of the Spirit start flowing freely, and we want to raise up this house. It's a house of miracle.
Amen?
Amen? So just be open. Amen? Because God will start doing some things. Amen? Amen. God bless you.